Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you've been listening, thank you for that. If you just tuned in, if you just got here, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. Wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening, we're glad you're here. Doug Stives is our guest, but he's not here yet. He's going to be any minute, though. We're working on that. And so that gives me a minute to tell you a little bit about our website, and that's www.jbsba.com. And when you get there, I'd like to encourage you to subscribe to my free newsletter. You know how I like to give you good value, and we figure that by giving you that information every week, that we add a little value to your life and to your business. And so you can do that. And by the way, we're coming up on our fourth anniversary of the newsletter, which we haven't missed an edition. And every week it's gone out for now almost 4 years, and which also coincides with our sixth anniversary of our show, which is in about 2 weeks. So anyway, back to the website. I want to encourage you to check it out. And also, don't forget there are hundreds of articles that you can read that are free there. That many of them I've written, but also many of our Brain Trust members have contributed lots and lots of articles on just about every topic you can think of with regard to small business. Also, there are about 1,000 archives, shows that we've done in the past, historic shows that we've done in the past, that you can listen to. And these have the commercials have been edited out of those, and they're only about 16 to 18 minutes or so long. The older ones are longer than that. They go way back to 99, some of those. But there's still good information, so check that out. It's a lot of good stuff. It's free, and it's all available to you because of our excellent sponsors. And I encourage you to let them know whenever you get a chance. If you get a chance, give them a shout at your business because they do good work with us. What Doug's going to talk to us about when he gets here, one of the things he's going to talk to us about is the tax cut and whether it's done any good for us. If whether it's done any good for the economy. You know what, folks? There's no doubt in my mind that it has. And yes, it has created a revenue shortfall. It has contributed, I should say, to a revenue shortfall for the government. But what it has done is it's re-empowered a whole lot of small business owners with some working capital in a couple of ways. Number one, in the form of new business. More business that creates sales and profits and cash flow, which is all part of the working capital, and it also has reduced the taxes for our small business owners, and that's one of the biggest drains of our working capital is income tax, and so it's reduced those taxes, and it's allowed more and more of us to buy equipment, to buy computers, to buy some of the things that we need, some of the things that we put off buying for the last several years, and because we can deduct up to $100,000 of those, which for most of us means 100% we can deduct this year for most of us. Now, if you're profitable, you can deduct it either way, but if you're not profitable, you just carry it forward into a future year, which Doug will tell us more about the details on that when he gets here, but you just carry it forward. But if you are profitable, then that puts money back in your business. That puts working capital back in your business because that means you pay less taxes. And I have asked many small business owners this question. And I've done this, by the way, folks, all over, not just in the United States, but in other countries as well. I have asked them, if you had lower taxes, if your government required less of you in the form of taxes this year, what would you do with the money? Without exception, without hesitating, everyone I've asked this of, men and women, in the United States and abroad, without blinking, they all said, I would put the money back in my business. They didn't say I would give myself a raise. They didn't say I would buy a new car. They said I would put the money back in the business. That's what small business owners do. And that's the reason why it's good business. It's good fiscal policy to make sure that small business owners don't pay more taxes than is absolutely necessary. Which brings me to this issue of why, of one of the reasons why the government doesn't have enough money. It's because they're spending too much money. And I'm not talking about just on Homeland Defense. I'm talking about on pork barrel stuff. We have a little bit of a revenue shortfall because of the tax cut. I admit that. But we got a bigger cash flow problem in the government because of spending on things that don't need to be spent on, not just the revenue part. And we're going to talk about this some more right after these messages. We're going to see if we can round up Doug Stives. It's 20 Till. Stay with us. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our friend. We actually are visiting now with our friend, Doug Stives. And as I told you earlier, folks, what could be scarier than a CPA on Halloween? I mean, I don't know how much more frightening I can get than that. Doug Stives was with the Kirchen Group out of beautiful downtown Red Bank, New Jersey. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Hey, I decided to frighten you this morning by not answering the phone. After I heard what you said.
That was a little frightening. I will have to tell you that, especially for my audience, because then they had to listen to me by myself.
I wanted to hear you fake your way through talking about taxes.
I actually did that. You know, this is one area that I have a little bit of an attitude about, as you might imagine. I was just pointing out, Doug, that the tax bill that was passed in the summer that gave especially small business owners some pretty nice tax breaks, that not only is that good for the economy, because, Doug, you know what I always say, what's good for small business is good for the world. And that tax cut was good for small business, wasn't it?
I think it was great.
I agree with you.
Yeah, okay.
I like your word better. Tell us about it.
Well, in fact, I'll just walk into it by anybody who's looked at the New York Times this morning, which we all would agree is fairly liberal editorially wise, at least, and they've been not a great fan of our friend George Bush, but this morning and actually last Sunday in an editorial, they actually admitted that, hey, maybe this tax cut has actually been one of the factors that's gotten the economy moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I predicted that earlier this year, I think maybe along with you, Jim. And then when it finally came out last summer and meeting with so many of our small business clients, we actually have seen people dip into their credit line or dip into their cash reserves and start to spend some money. I think the low interest rates, of course, are incentive to that, too.
Yeah.
I'll speak for myself. Just yesterday, I went out and bought a new car, and I'm paying a very low interest rate. I normally would not borrow money to buy a car, but at the low interest rates, I said, what the heck? Why not?
Wow. Wow, I can't believe you borrowed money from me with all your money, Doug. I would have thought you'd have just paid cash like you used to do.
I will admit to you, I haven't borrowed money for a car in a long time, but I did it this time. The alternative was to go sell some stocks, and I think it's kind of stupid to sell stocks when they're finally starting to come out of the toilet and get uphill a little bit.
Yeah.
And also, let's get to the main reason, is that I can take a deduction for a whole bunch of depreciation this first year because I put that car in service as of last night.
That's right. There's no half-year exemption or anything. I mean, it's a full-year exemption, isn't it?
Well, it's even better than that. I mean, if I had bought the car a couple of years ago, the first year's depreciation was limited to $3,060 on a car that cost over $15,300 and weighs less than 6,000 pounds. So it's called luxury car. Not real fancy, but let's call it that. Point is this, is we were limited to $3,060. Then the limit last year went up to $7,660, the first year's depreciation. Now, for acquisitions of new vehicles this year, we're talking $10,710 that I can take right off the front.
So if you buy, let's say the average vehicle, new vehicle out there is an average price of, say, $20,000, you get to write off half of it in the first year.
Exactly.
And not even in the first year, in the first tax year. I mean, you could buy it in December and the same thing could happen.
As long as you take title to it and put it in service by December 31st, you're off and running.
And it's a business vehicle, though.
Sure. We're assuming with these numbers that it's 100% business use. So in my case, if it's 85 or 90%, I'm still hovering around a $10,000 deduction, which, you know, times a decent tax bracket puts the down payment back into my pocket. Very simply stated.
Yeah.
And remember, in the second year, in the 2004, coming up only in 2 months, we get another $4,900 swipe of depreciation coming at it.
Right. And so are these deductions going to endure it into 2004?
Yeah, they're fixed for 2003 and 2004. Beyond that, it's going to be up to Congress, and I say without any hesitation, it's going to depend on how the 2004 election comes out as to whether this thing will continue or maybe be pulled back, Jim.
And folks, the thing is that what he was talking about, what Doug was just talking about, are special automobile rules. But if you buy a computer, if you buy a new machine for your factory or a new computer system or something like that, or re-gear your office with new furniture, or things, anything like that, it's 100% deductible up to $100,000 a year, isn't it, Doug?
Right, right. What we're talking about is the most restrictive, the cars that weigh less than 6,000 pounds.
Right.
Even if I had gone out and bought an SUV, I could have taken a deduction for the whole thing this year.
Right.
Up to $100,000. And as you just mentioned, Jim, furniture, computers, whatever it might be, even if you improve, if you do leasehold improvements to a building that you lease for your business, whether it's a warehouse, an office, a factory, whatever it might be, not real estate, in other words, not putting up outside walls, but
right.
if you put down carpet and, you know, some new partitions and
right.
new workstations and things like that, you can deduct all of that, all in one shot under Section 179 of the Internal Revenue Code this year. The only thing we need to point out is you can't throw yourself into a loss. Business profit is $50,000 before you take this big swipe of depreciation, limited to the amount of your profit. So you bring
right.
yourself down to a break-even and carry the rest of the deduction forward and use next
forward.
Year.
And you'll be glad, you'll be proud of me for knowing that I said that almost exact thing in, just before you got here, because that, you know, folks, the loss carry forward can be kind of handy. it's not good to lose money, but it's awfully handy to be able to carry it forward. And use
yeah.
it in future years. I can tell you from personal experience, ladies and gentlemen, that it's it may be rough when it's happening, when you're accumulating those losses, but later on when you become profitable, it's nice to have that little sack of losses to offset some stuff. Doug, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We got one more segment for Doug to frighten us a little bit with, and he's going to do that right after these messages. Doug Stiles is our guest. He's with the Kirchen Group out of Red Bank, New Jersey. It's 10 Tail. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, John Gordon, is going to be with us, and Russell Brown, also Julie Morgenstern, and Joe Condrell. By the way, Joe Condrell just got back from China. We're going to get a report from her, a little travelogue from her about what she found in China. So, I'll tell you more about those the other folks a little bit later on. I want to get back to Doug Stiles, who's our resident CPA and one of the scariest members of our brain trust, too, I might add. Any CPAs, always they're one, some of the scariest people you'll know, aren't they, Doug?
Well, boring might be a better word.
No, I'm just Doug knows I'm just teasing him. We couldn't do without. In fact, I've written recently in my newsletter last week and in my newspaper columns coming up. One of the things that I say is you need to get close to your CPA in the coming year, especially, or as we enter 2004, you need to get close to your CPA, because for a small business, Doug, a CPA can become your part-time chief financial officer without having to adopt a $100,000 a year employee.
Exactly. My practice here in Central New Jersey, as you well know, Jim, is made up primarily of small businesses. And just that, what are we doing? We're really serving as the out-of-the-house controller for businesses.
Right.
Computers has helped us a lot because that's doing the bookkeeping.
Right. Yeah. Let's do a little tax planning, Doug. And
yeah, I'd love that.
And let's talk about, the economy grew it now. It blew me away a couple of days ago. we found the news, the brand new news on the economy is that in the third quarter, 7.2%. So things are trucking along pretty well. It's not going to do that well probably in the fourth quarter, but the expansion is continuing apace, and so it's possible, Doug, that some people could be shock profitable because of the last half of this year. And
absolutely.
So maybe for the first time in a while, some people are saying, you know what, maybe I need to do some tax planning instead of some loss planning.
Well, that's where I think we can kind of close this out with some great news for folks. I think you covered, even before I got on with you this morning, that the tax rates are down. Everyone is going to pay less tax this year if they made even the same amount of income they made last year. So you couldn't have picked a better year to make money. And as we talked about in the middle of this segment, if you're looking at spending some money on your business to buy some new equipment, whether it's a new truck or a new tractor or a new car for just you and your spouse to enjoy if you use it partly for business, the tax benefits with the fast appreciation rule are really unprecedented, Jim, supported again by the low interest rates, even if you borrow money to do that. And you mentioned when we were on break a minute ago, you bought a car and got a tremendous rebate for the cost of this equipment. Many, many businesses that people we're talking to know this. Businesses are working on a smaller profit margin. They're happy to get stuff out of inventory to move it out of their shop or even do some service business to keep their folks busy. And I'm finding that even in our own operation here, we're forced to be more efficient and get more work out of our people for not a whole lot more money. And I think that's other reasons the economy's going. But the point is you, if you have more income this year with the lower tax brackets, the highest bracket coming down from 38.6 to 35, vast expansion of the 15% tax bracket. A tremendous number of people out there are only going to pay tax at 15% this year.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago, if they were paying tax after deductions on $50,000 or $60,000, they were in a 27% tax bracket. This year, it's 15% if they're married filing.
Which, isn't that also the rate of capital gains, too?
The maximum, yeah. If you're at a 15% regular tax bracket, your capital gains are taxed at only 5%.
Wow. So maybe this is a good time to turn some stuff.
Absolutely. You know, tell people don't worry about the capital gains tax anymore. It's just not that onerous.
Yeah.
But one thing, though, to be a little bit cautious is folks that have probably heard the term alternative minimum tax and often felt it didn't apply to them. Even if you're, you know, relatively moderate income, people that are making, say, in round numbers, $100,000 to $150,000, you know, you're kind of towards the upper end, but, you know, not extremely wealthy folks. A lot of those people that we represent, we're finding they are going to get whacked with the alternative minimum tax.
That's the next thing we need to storm the bastions for, Doug, is getting rid of this alternative minimum tax, isn't it?
Well, Congress did fix it a little bit. They took the sting away, again, from some middle-income folks. But a lot of people who have never been affected by this AMT this year because their regular tax has come down so significantly, Jim, there are a number of people who never been, or maybe they've been close but not into AMT, will hit it this year. They're still going to pay less tax, though. Nobody's paying more tax. Their income stayed the same.
And that's good for, I think that's good for everybody. Doug, thank you for being here. Thanks for the information. And you're going to be continuing to keep us updated on this as we go toward the end of the year. We'll get Doug back on. Thanks, Doug, very much.
Well, next time I'll try to be on time.
Don't worry about it. Thanks, Doug. Doug Scott is, ladies and gentlemen, with Kirchen Group out of Red Bank, New Jersey. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.